and we're all older than the last time I saw you. Some of you look a lot older than last time I saw you. No, I'm only kidding. But thank God when you've got eternal life, you just go on and on and on and on. So it's great to be with you tonight. I celebrated last year, 50 years of knowing the Lord Jesus. What 50 years? What 50 years? I'll tell you. Did you say, did you go to heaven in a magic carpet, John? I said, no, but I was the happiest depressed person in this world. You know that? I tell you, it's wonderful. Even when you're down, you're up. He's there with you. Even in your dull moments, in your sad moments, in your just whatever moments, the Lord is with you. What a life to live for Jesus. There's a lovely hymn we used to sing at home. Living for Jesus, oh what peace, rivers of pleasure never cease. Help me to serve thee more and more. Help me to serve thee o'er and o'er. We're glad to see you here tonight, and we're praying that this may be a blessing that you will have in your life. Will you turn with me to the Word of God this evening as we find it in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. And then in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, we have an interview of Jesus meeting with a man who had a lot of questions. But thank God, Jesus Christ has a lot of answers. He is the answer. And so there we find in chapter 1, we read these words. Now there was a man of the Pharisees, verse 1, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see. One is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and whither it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. With apologies to the folks in the Bible class this morning, I think I may have mentioned the story, but I think it's apropos for just beginning where we are. I remember when we were preaching down in the southwest of Scotland, we were preaching in a lovely little fishing village. It had been in days gone by, and it was a beautiful location at the foot of the cliffs, looking right over across to the north of Ireland. In the course of our evangelism there and sharing the Lord in open-air meetings and singing, of course, we, in a little place, we made a lot of attention, and people visiting came and spoke to us. One man came, he had a converted fishing ship and a boat, and he said, Would you like me to take you out? And so we said, Oh, well, if any of the team want to go, we'll go. And so some of them wanted to go, some of them didn't want to go. And so, but we went out, and I should have known better coming from the northeast of Scotland when we went down the long iron ladder onto the boat. I should have realized that the tide was out. But I didn't, and so we got in. And we got into the boat, and we got down the channel. And as we went down the channel, we only got halfway down the channel, and we stuck in the mud. Now, you can imagine, we had one half of the crowd team on the shore laughing at us, plus a few townspeople as well, who had gathered to see the spectacle of a crowd of people on a fishing boat stuck in the mud. And you know, then the point came when the tide came in and it lifted up the boat, and of course we moved out into the Irish Sea with great relief, only to discover that the wind was blowing a wee bit stronger than we had expected. So when we got out there, we would maybe wish we had stayed back. But we were stuck in the mud until the tide came. Now we're at the beginning of another year, 2009. What has your prospects for this year? Maybe in the world that we live in, you look around and you say, well, I don't think I've got many prospects. I don't think I've got many hopes. I don't think there's a lot going to happen. You see, I'm stuck in the mud. I went home and I give this illustration in my home assembly in Aberdeen, and the undertaker who buried my brother, he came to me afterwards and he said, John, you hit me right where I am. I'm stuck in the mud. He was a Christian. So Christians and non-Christians get stuck in the mud, don't they? I remember coming here when we had Andrew. Do you remember Andrew? Hell, we'll never forget it. And I remember when Brother Willie Pinder got the express parked at his front door. Do you remember that? It got stuck in the mud too, didn't it? Is that your life? Do you wish for more? Is there no hope? We look at Israel and Palestine fighting tonight. We gaze at with intrepidation as to what kind of government America will have in 2 weeks' time. And you say, is there hope? Well, you know, the Lord God sent His Son into the world for a great reason. And the great reason was to give us a new life, a new birth. And just to give you the background here, very quickly, this man was a religious man. This is a man who knew the law. This is a man who knew where he was going, as it were. He met with the council. He was a Pharisee. But this is a man who was impressed by the way that Jesus spoke and the things that Jesus did. I think we would all been impressed if we had lived in those days, wouldn't you? If you had encountered the Lord Jesus Christ and you said, I love that story in John's Gospel about the man who was blind and they came and said, who did this to you? He says, I don't know, but a man that was called Jesus. What an encounter. And you saw men who couldn't see began to see. And then a little boy like some of these here went out to hear about Jesus and went out to hear him. And his mom packed his lunch with him. And when he went out with his lunch, and it got lunchtime, and there was all these people and very little food. He took the food and Jesus blessed the little boy's lunch and fed the thousands and then picked up 12 baskets full at the end. Wouldn't you have been impressed if you had been there? My, you would have stood in awe and said, this is it. And when the storm's raging on the sea and he stands up and says, peace be still, the people who were crying for help said, what manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey his voice? And when they were challenged, the officers, and said, did you not bring him? Why did you not bring him? They said, never man spake like this man. This man is different. What made him different? He was God made known in flesh and blood. It is John in his Gospel in the first chapter who says this, that he pitched his tent of flesh among us. And there he was, God clothed in flesh and blood, that he might go to the cross and die. And so this man comes impressed, as you and I would be. And he comes to Jesus, and he asks a question about getting to heaven and the kingdom of God. And Jesus begins to just hit him with it. You need to be born again. What are you talking about? And he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you need to be born again. And he said, that which is flesh is flesh. You're a reproduction. You know, I find coming here, having come here for over 20 years, I look into faces of young people and I say, are some folk getting younger instead of older? And then I realize what's happened. I'm actually looking at the children of the people who were children when I came here. And so I see them there. And if you saw my boys, people used to say to me, you know, the thing about your boys, John, they weren't adopted. You can tell. Now that could be an affliction in our case. But you know, and you see the effect, and you can look around, and you know, when I see in this place tonight, I see a physical reproduction. But you know, my dear friends, I know a lot of the folks in this village and this island and have got to know it. And you know what? In some, a lot of them I see a spiritual reproduction. Because what has happened is that they have been born again of the Spirit of God. Now very quickly, and this is what I want to take you up. When you get that, you get a new beginning. One of my favorite verses is found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's new, and that's it. Go and see the mother. I have a friend in the northeast of Scotland who had two boys on drugs. Two boys on drugs. They prayed it through. They worked it through. You can imagine, and if some of you here can identify with their heartache and their sorrow, and you can identify with it. And then one day, it got right. The man who came to me into the ballroom and told me about Christ, his son was on drugs. And Peter said to me, John, I was brokenhearted. Andrew was in a mess. He said, I couldn't go to the doctor for him. And I couldn't, because he would have had to go to the police. And then we would be in trouble. And he said, one day I heard the steps up the stairs and there was a knock on my study door and I opened it and he said, Andrew stood there and he said, Dad, I've got right with God. I've got right with God. Andrew's in India today doing a fantastic work for God, preaching the gospel on television to millions of Indians. And you know, my dear friends, here is it. You might be sitting here tonight and saying, well, I'm just stuck in the mud. Clunas is bang on. He's got me right down to a T, and I ain't moving forward, and I'm not moving backward. I'm just stuck. Well, do I have news for you? The tide is coming in. Do I have news for you? God's tide is coming in and it can lift you out of your circumstances and your situation because sin has brought us to a point where all have sinned and come short of the standard of God. And so when we're born again of the Spirit of God, I discovered, and there are many more, I know there are preachers in the place today, and preachers like to take other preachers and just add to other preachers' things. But let me just say there's four, and there's many things out of being born again that we can, but there are four blessings at the beginning of this year that I just want to share with you very quickly. What happens when we're born again? Number one, we get a new heart. We got a new heart. The psalmist said, create in me a clean heart. The old prophet said, God said to him, I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new heart. Now, what is involved in getting a new heart? Well, first of all, let me say there is involved. The heart is the place, first of all, is affliction. When we get hurt, what do we say? I don't know if you say that here, but in Scotland we say, I've got a sore heart. Isn't that right? Maybe a family member. Maybe a situation. Maybe something said to you. You say, I've got a sore heart. You get hurt right in your heart. Well, when you get a new life, my friend, let me tell you, God comes to deal with our heartaches. He deals with them as Christians, you know. If you're a Christian here tonight with heartaches, God is still on the throne, you know. Write that out 50 times every time you feel depressed. God is still on the throne. A Christian teacher told me to do it. And every time I get down, I can hear his voice saying to me, Clunas, write out 50 times, God is still on the throne. And you know, my dear friends, as we begin to look at this, we discover the heart that is sometimes the place of affliction is also the place of affection. For what happens, my dear friend, when God lifts our afflictions, He gives us a new affection. And when we lift our eyes higher and we hear the word of God saying, you love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart. getting near Valentine's Day, I went in the into our local pharmacy just before I left, and I thought, well, there's some discount stuff after Christmas, you know. I'm always waiting for the discount stuff. And when I went in there, I saw, imagine, I never remembered giving hearts at Christmas. And Margaret said, John, that is the Valentine Day stuff that's coming in. That's not late, that's early. Well, it was too early for me to buy it. And so the symbol we give of human love is a heart. And so when we come into the experience of born again, the number one blessing that we get is a new heart, because we get a new affection. We're in love with the Lord Jesus. We sing hymns like, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin are resigned. We get this, oh, how I love Jesus. You remember that one? We sing all those hymns. Why? Because our new affection has been set upon the Savior who took us out of sin, gave us a new life, and in the process of giving us a new heart, whereby we have our afflictions lifted and a new love in our hearts. Why? Because it becomes a place of a new affiliation. We're linked up with the family of God. You see, when you're born, my friends, you have to be born into a family. Even if you're abandoned, you were born into some family. And so, my dear friends, when we're born again into the family of God, we're brought in, and John says so beautifully, as many as received the Lord Jesus, to them gave he the power or the authority. What a tremendous word. The authority to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name. And so we're brought into the family. What family is, you know? Every family has problem kids. Didn't you know that? Maybe some are more fortunate than others and you don't have. Well, count your blessings. But thank God, there's no family in this world like the family of God. And everybody in it has a new heart, a new affection, and a new affiliation. We belong to the family of God. Mr. Gaither wrote the hymn, and his wife, Bill and Gloria, wrote the hymn, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I see these young folks here. I want to tell you, you're not too young to give your heart to Jesus. My doorbell rang one day, and there on the doorstep was a wee Scottish lassie, 8 years of age. Then be here who's 8? 8 years of age. And she said, Mr. Clunas. I said, yes, what can I do for you? She was with her mum. Can I come in and talk to you? And I thought, well, if an 8-year-old wants to talk to me, I'll talk to her. She came in and we sat down on the sofa. And I said, what can I do for you? She says, I need to get saved. I said, no, why would a lovely lassie like you need to get saved? I'm just testing her. She says, because I'm a sinner. And Jesus died for sins. Another wee lassie came after the service, 6 years of age. I saw her this year, in fact. She's now 16. And she'd been in Africa twice on missions. And she came one night after the service like this, 6 years of age. She said, I need, and her sister was 10, I need to get saved. My dear friend, you're not too young. I did a mission away in the northwest of England there, where they make the nuclear submarines. And this lady came forward. Two of them came. And I led the... There was one with an older lady with a young friend. the young friend was 75. But when you're 90, anybody under that's young, isn't it? And I said, what can I do for you, ladies? We've never heard a story like this before. We need to get saved. We need to get right with God. We need to trust the Savior. The 90, she was actually 92, and she lived in a home, and she says, she booked a room in the home, and she said to me, John, you're coming up, I'm getting my whole family to come up to the room, and you're going to tell them what you told me. And I went up, and the room was filled with her family. And she said, now tell them, John, what you told me. And I told them the old, old story of a Savior who came from glory, who died on the cross for the sin, and how they could be born again of the Spirit of God. My dear friends, you're not too young, you're not too old, and you're brought into the very family of God. What an affiliation to be linked with a holy God. The second blessing is you get a new help. When we go to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, we discover the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, he says, I will give you a comforter. He says, I will give you another comforter. He's been a comfort to them, but he's going to give them another one, and they're going to enjoy that comfort. If you read in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter, that he may be with you forever. And so what we find, the blessing of being born again is not only having a new heart with new desires, but, my dear friend, the blessing of being born again is having a new help. And we discover it's a divine help, for we find that he gives us a new strength. See, before I got saved, I went with the flow. In other words, if the crowd were going the wrong way, I went the wrong way too. Then I discovered when I got saved, there was a fellow in the Bible called Daniel. And he had a great word. It was no. And you discovered that as a Christian, there were certain places you wouldn't go, or certain things you wouldn't do, and certain things you wouldn't look at. And I learned to swim upstream. If you came to Scotland, you'd see in the hills there, a certain time of the year, the salmon come in to spawn, and they come up the river. And when they come up there to the falls, which are high, you see them leaping up, and they'll fall back down again. And then they'll leap up again until finally they get over the falls and they go up the river and spawn and then come down and bring the family with them. You know, my dear friends, I want to say this. You might be sitting there tonight saying, I couldn't keep this. I couldn't live for God. Do you think I could live for God in this island? Do you think I could live for God? My dear friend, I want to tell you this. You're looking at one of the weakest men that ever lived, had it not been for the strength of God. And you get a new strength. And we've discovered that the new strength you get is the Holy Spirit, who has not only said, Jesus, will he be with you, but he shall be in you. And so we discover this. We're empowered by God's power. And God's strength. And God has mighty power and mighty strength, and he gives us boldness when we need it. And also we discover he brings to our hearts a new comfort, because he places that comforter in our hearts. And we discover we have comfort about things that we're unsure about. We have peace with God. We have comfort that if we die, we're going to be with the Lord. But we'll see that just in a moment. And the third thing I would say very quickly, for time is going, is at the beginning of that 14th chapter, it's the blessing of a new home. A new home. And you discover that we have the promise of a home in heaven. Jesus said, Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We've got a new home. We know that at the end of the road isn't the grave. It isn't the cemetery. No, my dear friend, we may go via the cemetery, we may not. But we do know this, that we have a home that has been bought, that has been prepared for by the Lord Jesus when he died on the cross for our sins. He died that he might give us a new heart with a new affection, that he might give us, my dear friends, a new help, a strength to go on, and a new comfort, and a new home. And you say, even give us a plan. God was handing out GPSs long before they invented them. Did you know that? I've got one in my car. I got a gift of them. Now I've got, and it's the voice I've got is a lady's voice, so I've got two ladies now telling me how to drive the car. One of them's telling me where to go, and the other one chimes in as well, you know. But, my friend, long before there were these GPSs, God said, Jesus said, I am the way. You follow me, and where I am, you will be also. I'm going to heaven, because I've prepared the many mansions for you. So he has a promise, my dear friends, of a home in heaven and the plan and how to get there. I am the way. Fourthly, as we conclude, the blessing of a new hope. Now, this one, as we go into the year, is powerful. So when I'm born again, when I receive Christ as my Savior, I get a new heart with new affections, new love in my heart, and I find myself with this new help, this strength that I never had before, and I have this comfort that I have, and the blessing of a new home. I'm heading home to heaven. We sang it tonight, didn't we? We must needs go home by the way of the cross, for there's no other way for this. And it's sweet to know as we onward go that the way of the cross leads home. But the last blessing is this of what I've put together is the blessing of new hope. Well, what does Jesus say here? He says, I will come again. I will come again. My, isn't the stage set? Those of you, and I know a number from the island have been over in Israel, and you've stood on Mount Carmel there, and you've looked at Armageddon, what's happening, and where they are tonight isn't going to be even a fraction of what's going to happen when Armageddon comes. And you know, and you're free to tell everybody, we know who won. And we know who wins. Because, my dear friend, God's going to be in the midst of that battle. But Jesus is coming again. And Paul wrote, he said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It's called the rapture, the great snatch. He's going to catch us up. He's going to take us home one of these days. And then we discover, my friend, the purpose of it all is this. I will come and receive you unto myself. Can I say this as we close? Are you ready to meet Christ? Have your sins been forgiven? Do you know they're forgiven? My friend, if you can't answer in the positive to these, I'm going to say this to you tonight. Please do not leave this place tonight until you've done business with God and you've put it right with God and you walk out the door with forgiveness written all over your face. And you'll have a new heart and a new home and a new hope, my friend, and a new help. It's all there. You'll have that because you'll be born of the Spirit of God. You can do this as a young person. You can do this as an older person. And you know, the wonderful thing is, you know how near God is to you tonight? As near as that prayer that says, just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. And I'm going to tell you, friends tonight, you need Christ if you don't know him. My young teenage friends, I appeal and I plead with you. I am so glad I got saved at 18. I tell you, it has been an amazing experience. There has not been a drug in the market that could send me higher than the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I never wake up with a headache because the Spirit of God is 100%. And it takes my headaches away instead of giving them to me. And I'm pleading with you now. And Jesus is knocking at the door of your life tonight. And he says, if any man will open up, or woman, or boy, or girl, I'll come in, and I'll sup with them, and them with me. My dear friends, will you let Christ in tonight? We sang before I preached, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? Let's just pray quietly right now. Let the Spirit of God work in your heart. Let God's Spirit bring conviction to you right now. My friend, if you're feeling upset right now, that could be a good sign because you could be on the verge of just getting saved. And you can pray in your heart simple words, Lord Jesus Christ, you died on the cross for my sin. You suffered that your blood could make me clean. And I come tonight. And I repent. I turn away from that sin. And Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. This is serious stuff, my friends. Sometimes we live as though we're going to live forever, but we're not, unless we're saved. I'm going to ask you tonight, will you trust Christ as your Savior? Heavenly Father, it is not our work to save men and women. It's our job to tell men and women that there is a Savior. We pray that they will be born again of the Spirit of God tonight, receiving Christ as a Savior in a very special way. Lord, let it happen for Jesus' sake. And for the souls of those without Christ tonight, and those of us who are saved and were stuck in the mud, let the tide come in, Lord Jesus, and lift us up and powerfully tonight for your name's sake. Amen. Let's sing two verses of a hymn. I'm going to ask our friends if they would play for me. 790. And we'll just sing the first and last verses only of this lovely hymn, 790. I hope I've got the right one. And I've anchored my soul. Yes, my soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distressed. And then the last verse, so come to the Savior. He patiently waits to save by his power divine. Sing this.